Hey everyone, and welcome back to a brand new episode of the 1001 Films Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Gardner. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about Dungeons and Dragons Honor Among Thieves. It's been out for a while, and it didn't really do too well at the box office, but it got incredible reviews. So I had a few extra hours this afternoon that I thought I would check it out. So I'm going to give you my thoughts right after this. So I've never really been a fan of Dungeons and Dragons. I never played the game, and I've never like kind of been into this IP. Like I like fantasy novels, and I like fantasy video games and movies and TV shows and stuff. So I thought I'd give Dungeons and Dragons a try. And the fact that I have never played the game, and I've never really had any kind of interaction with the franchise in any way, this movie never made me feel lost or like I was out of the loop. It did a really good job of making it a story that paid homage to the source material, but also didn't alienate average moviegoers or people who had never played the game. I did get the sense that, in a few moments where I kind of had this feeling of like, oh, that was probably a callback to the game, or like there were some lines that some people in my theater laughed at that I didn't necessarily get, that maybe would have been funnier to me had I played the game. But again, like I never really felt like the movie left me out or like the movie was talking down to me in any way because I didn't understand what was going on. It did a really good job of like making me, someone who had never played the game, feel included and not lost. So I really like that. About this film. And because of all of that, I could tell that this movie was made by people who had played and loved the game. There's a line in La La Land where Emma Stone's character, Mia, says that people love what other people are passionate about. And even though I had never played the game and I never have been involved in this franchise, like I could tell that it was made by people who had, and who had a genuine love for the game and a genuine interest in sharing that love with others and introducing this IP to other people, and to people who had never, people like me, people who had never played the game. And I could really, you could really since the fun and the engagement and the sense of togetherness that I sense that a lot of people feel when they are playing this role-playing game together. It felt the dialogue between the characters and the interactions between their personalities was very natural and fluid. And I could see how that can be attractive to people who want to play the games, because as far as I know, like you in the game, you can like create your own character and create their own backstory. And, you can have, their different abilities and stuff. Like all of that can be kind of like prearranged or chosen by the person who is playing that character. So I can really feel it through this movie. I can really feel and see the interest of why people, play this game and why it's been so popular for so long. And another aspect of this movie that I really liked is that there are not a lot of pure fantasy movies anymore. A lot of times if it's a fantasy movie, it's like mixed in with an existing comic book or franchise or something. And this This movie is, I mean, it is Dungeons and Dragons. You know, it's a long-standing fantasy franchise that's been around for decades. But you could honestly just call this movie Honor Among Thieves and just drop the Dungeons and Dragons. And I mean, it still would stand on its own. You know, like I said before, I never really felt lost. I never really felt like I was missing anything because I don't have a full understanding of the Dungeons and Dragons game. I just feel like, because there's not a lot of pure fantasy anymore, that this really is like, this film was really like a breath of fresh air. You know, kind of like Top Gun Maverick was kind of a breath of fresh air from, it was a summer blockbuster, but it wasn't attached to an existing IP or, you know, a franchise or an overarching like shared universe. It was just a throwback to the 80s block 80s and 90s like blockbuster summer fun movie. And I feel like this has kind of done the same. Like it's not part of a shared universe. It's a standalone movie with interesting characters that have interesting backstories and personalities and interactions with each other, and you don't have to do any homework going into it. And there's not a lot of, you know, sword and sandal fantasy movies like that anymore. You know, even Lord of the Rings like was an adaptation of the books, and you know, there were three of them, so it ended up being like a franchise, but it was all like one big story, like told through three movies. But they don't really, there's not a lot of movies like that around anymore. And I just feel like this Dungeons and Dragons movie was just like a breath of fresh air to kind of mix it up in like what's being shown at theaters. It's not all just like comic book movies or superhero movies. You know, and like I said, the story is engaging because it focuses on the characters, which I was surprised are very multidimensional. You know, and like I said, they complement each other well. You know, every performance is good, but especially Chris Pine and Michelle Rodriguez. You know, Chris Pine plays Captain Kirk in the rebooted J.J. Abrams Star Trek movies. His humor was on point. He had some emotional moments that he had to play, and he played them really well. He seems like a likable person. So all the characters he plays kind of give off that likability that he kind of seems like he naturally has within himself, and that definitely comes through in his character in this film. And it was surprisingly funny. There were a lot of great laughs, especially there was a scene in a graveyard. This is going to sound funny or sound ironic, but there's a scene in a graveyard where they have to dig up corpses, and it is hilarious. It is so funny. I was laughing so hard. Everyone in my theater was laughing. And that, you know, was surprisingly one of the best aspects of this film is that they mixed in the humor in the right places, and there were very few jokes that kind of fell flat that I didn't really get or that were too inside baseball. But I just felt like the humor was on point throughout this film from everyone, especially Chris Pine. He was really funny. And they the last thing that I think is worth pointing out is that this film has a good mix of practical and CGI effects. You could tell that it was shot on real locations and not in front of a green screen. They had very interesting costumes, interesting makeup and outfits. And, you know, it's a fantasy world. So they, you know, they have like half humans and like, you know, magicians and wizards and, you know, trolls and, you know, like bird creatures and, you know, like all of that, you know, dragons, like obviously Dungeons and Dragons, there's dragons in it. So it was a good mix of having like people in costumes and in makeup and shooting things on real sets. And they mix that well with those practical effects were mixed really well with the CGI effects. It was very smooth and seamless. You know, it wasn't overly done. The CGI wasn't overly done or in your face. You know, so that's an aspect that I really enjoyed and I think is worth pointing out. And as you can tell, for me, this is a glowing review. It's definitely worth seeing. It came out a while ago. It came out in March, I think. So it's been out for several months. And I just don't understand why it flopped at the box office. No one went to go see this movie, including me. But, I finally got around to going to see it. But just to give you some facts here, it's basically done making money. I mean, it's still in the theaters, but it's not, you know, it's way down on the list. And I'm sure it's going to be taken out of theaters and put on streaming soon. But on a $150 million budget, it only opened to $37 million and only had a worldwide gross of $204 million. Now, you say, you know, you think, oh, the budget is $150 million and made worldwide $204 million. I mean, that figure was from a couple days ago, but I'm sure it hasn't gone up that much. So $150 million budget makes $200 million worldwide. You think, oh, that's, you know, that's a $50 million profit. How did it bomb? No, the studio definitely lost money on this movie because of the $200 million that it grosses at the box office, the exhibitors, the theaters, they keep one third of that. And then the rule of thumb for a marketing budget is twice the production. You just double the production budget. So if it's $150 million budget for, you know, production budget for the film, then you figure it's at least $100 or $150 for the marketing. So before the movie even goes into theaters, they're already in the hole, you know, $300 million, you know, $250, $300 million. So just to make its money back, it has to make, you know, a third of $1 billion just to break even. So with a worldwide gross of 204, they probably lost at least $50 to $100 million on this movie. So this is definitely a bomb at the box office. Hopefully it finds second life on streaming and rentals, because it seems like, I just don't understand it, because it seems like everyone liked it. Like on Rotten Tomatoes, it has 91% certified fresh from the critics and 93% rating from the audiences. So I just don't understand why a movie that's rated this high, that had this big of a budget and that was marketed the way it was, and was released close to summer movie, you know, late March, I think, early April, I think is when it came out. So that's not like, you know, January or like September or something, like a dead zone in the, you know, in the movie release schedule. Like it was released at a decent time during the year, you know, around spring break, you know, so the high schoolers, you know, and kids can get out of school and families could go see, could go to the movies. I just don't understand why it only made $200 million worldwide. I mean, it's a fantastic film. Critics liked it. Audiences that saw it liked it. I hope the studio looks at that and realizes, okay, We took a hit on this one, but it was highly rated among audiences and critics. And I hope they make another one. I hope they take a chance. They make it, you know, bigger and better. They have a new story, get in some more new interesting characters, a new interesting villain. And I hope they make a sequel. And I hope that that sequel makes a lot of money, because it definitely deserves it. This film deserved way more than $200 million worldwide. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, this film is fantastic. I definitely recommend checking it out if it's still in a theater near you, or paying for it as a rental on video on demand when it is released in that way. So yeah, definitely check it out. And thank you guys so much for listening. And don't forget to follow me on Twitter at SMG Reviews and on my blog, 1001filmblog.wordpress.com. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I'll catch you next time.